If you have your Bibles, we'd like to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 19, and we will read together the verses 1 through 10. So we've identified the entire month of November as a month in which we want to try and put thank you into practice, not only with one another, but with God as well, where thank you begins to shape our attitudes, our perspective, our orientation with one another. And this morning we read a familiar story from Luke chapter 19 of Zacchaeus. And you may know that this particular story is unique in the Gospel of Luke. You will not find this story in any other gospel. Another thing you'll note about this text that is unique is Zacchaeus is named as a chief tax collector. Now, not only will you not find that word chief tax collector anywhere in the Bible, but you won't find that word anywhere in any first century Greek literature, which often puzzles scholars. The story falls at the end of about 10 chapters worth of Jesus' encounters with all sorts of people. In fact, in chapter 9 at verse 51, Jesus sets his sights on Jerusalem and he is on a mission to go there. And along the way, he meets this hodgepodge gathering of different kinds of people, different kinds of groups. And to find Zacchaeus, he makes a detour on his way to Jerusalem and he goes out of his way to see Zacchaeus. That's something that he makes a point just for this one person. So this man in this text, who is called many things, he's called rich, he's called short, he's called chief tax collector, by the end of this short text is also called a son of Abraham. The people around him will call him a sinner, but this man who's known by many names, by the end of the text, will be called a son of Abraham. Before we read, let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the beauty and the light of this day, light that shines in from the outside into our world and into our rooms. We thank you for the light of the gospel. Help us, we pray, to shine that light this day, not into our own eyes to blind us, but forward and on our footsteps so that we might see where to go. Thank you for Zacchaeus' response of a lifetime of thank you because of the encounter he had with our Lord. So today, as we open this text, we pray that you would open us not only to seeing differently, but also to seeing with the eyes of Christ and allowing him to see us. So today, break through what may be familiar and predictable and find a way to find us, we pray. Call us by name and let us hear and feel and experience your grace for ourselves, for the good of this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was entering Jericho and was passing through. Now a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now all the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So when I was a little boy, I loved this story, and all of us, depending on where we are in life, we gravitate to one part of a text. And for me, the appeal of this particular text was the fact, not that Zacchaeus was a tax collector or that he was short, but that he was a tree climber. I love that about Zacchaeus. I imagined him a little bit like some of my shorter friends who maybe needed a boost to get to that first limb so you could find your way up in the tree. Or I imagined him as short like some of my friends who needed to get up on tippy toes to be able to see something. But Zacchaeus was industrious and resourceful and showed great initiative in that he climbed this tree. And that resourcefulness was maybe part of what saved him. That's what I grew up with. When we're younger, there are parts of a story that we stick to or that latch on to us that we know and we're familiar with. But as we grow up, we oftentimes recognize that as we read the Bible and as we hear the Gospels in particular, one of the things that we realize is that there's more depth. There's something underneath that the gospel writer wants to share with us. That until we get more mileage or more experience or more connections with one another, we are not able to fully see until we grow up in Christ or into the lifestyle of Christ. So suddenly there are in these texts that we are familiar with things that we never perhaps saw before. So this week I was reflecting on this text and I was trying to let it open up me, and I was thinking about the person and the personality and the character of Zacchaeus, and I began thinking about, who is he like? Well, there was this picture of a person that kept coming into my mind, and it was the character actor Danny DeVito. A scrappy, short, irritable, and irritating character who sort of gets under your skin a little bit. I think about someone who has to spend his life energies finding his own way and his own personality, his own swagger, because he has been defined as a particular kind of person, and that has shaped his personality and character and everything that he is and has become. So what does Zacchaeus, or what does Luke tell us about Zacchaeus? He's short, he's wealthy, he's a tax collector, he's a sinner, he's a chief tax collector. And then we begin to ask ourselves, what are some of the words that define us? I don't know about you, but I have some people in my life who are wealthy and successful. I think it's their spiritual gift that anything they touch turns to gold. They've put their time and their attention to that gift. And that spiritual gift is not going to make any of Paul's lineup, but it's their gift. It's their ability. Everything they do in business, in investment, in creativity is successful. That they've defined themselves that way because that's what they're good at. They are successful at being successful. I think about the people in my life who have earned the title of chief or who have hit a certain level because of their education or their credentials or their certification or the ways in which they have been called upon to prove themselves in their field, and they've done it. They've risen above all others, perhaps, and they've reached a level because of their giftedness and because of their hard work, and they've defined themselves that way. By that title, by that certification, by that standing, and they've worked hard at it. Or maybe it's come naturally because it's their gift. And then there are people in my life and yours who are little, who have had circumstances outside of their control that has become definitional for them. Maybe it's something that has happened to them. Maybe it's something that they are born with. Maybe they're too short, or they wish they weren't so tall. Maybe they had to get glasses at too young of an age, or maybe they've inherited something genetically, or they've inherited diabetes, and now this has defined the whole course of their life. They wish that something about them or their life was different, but it's out of their control, but this has defined them and the direction of their life. Wealthy, success, short, chief, a title. Hopefully at this point you may say about all of those people, well, that's all of us. That could be any of us. And this is Luke's point, or at least one of them this morning, that Jesus can make disciples out of anyone with whatever you've got, with whatever has been defining you, whether that's success, whether that's a sense of high credentials, or whether that's something that's happened to you. Back in 951, Jesus sets his sights on Jerusalem and wants to come to each one of us and call us by name, and says, especially in the face of all of what may be holding on to you or defining you, I've got your back. I'm coming for you. And Jesus' actions here are louder than words. Why did Zacchaeus have such an enthusiastic response to Jesus? Why did he say, I'll give away half of my possessions and I'll right the wrong four times? Why did he say that? I think he said that because for the first time in his life, he felt like he was seen. Seen for who he was as Zacchaeus. Seen for who he was as a child of God. Seen not for what he did or what he accomplished or what defined him negatively, probably, in his experience. But Jesus saw him for who he was and went after him and pursued him. And I think that made all of the difference in his life. It wasn't what was right about him, his wealth, or his position, or what was wrong about him, his height. It wasn't about all the years worth of ridicule he could probably experience for being a sinner and an IRS agent and a short guy. Maybe it was in those moments that Zacchaeus recognized, perhaps, how much of his life's energy he was spending into either being successful or getting the highest credentialing, or pushing against feeling a need to prove himself and raise himself up. Many of us, as we are growing in Christ and growing up and growing in years and mileage, begin to look back and look at how much of our life's energy has been spent against pushing against something that we have felt deficient about, inadequate about. Man, I felt a need to constantly prove myself or demonstrate myself or go out of my way to prove my worth and my value. And Jesus will have none of that. He doesn't measure by those credentials. Jesus sees you, and he sees me for who we are as those whom he loves. So that all of the good stuff and all of the stuff that we'd rather not live into doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And I think this is why Zacchaeus had this huge opening in himself to say, thank you, Lord, for seeing me. You're the first one who has seen me for who I am. I haven't been able to see myself because I've been putting all this energy into success and into wealth and into importance. I've put all this energy into getting the right check marks in my career so that everyone would know that I'm important, or I'm valuable, or I'm special. Or I've spent my life's energies trying to deal with this thing that I just hate about myself. Or I wish other people wouldn't see. I wish I could put this aside because so much of my energy is either spent trying to hide this or just trying to live with it. Jesus sees the person, not the deficit, not the trophies or the stripes. He sees the person, and that's why these gospel stories are so important and so rich for us, because we are those people. Many of us do the same thing. This is a story for all of us, and if we can't identify ourselves in one or more of those places, I want to encourage you to dig deeper and listen deeper into this text. Because I think Zacchaeus and many of us spend a lot of our life's energies trying to prove ourselves or disprove something that we can't stand about ourselves. So back to Zacchaeus' response. You may know that in the Torah, that if you have to provide restitution, sometimes it's direct restitution, sometimes it's restitution and 20%. In extreme cases, it's double. Zacchaeus wants to go well beyond the requirements of the law to say, I'm going to give half my stuff away to the poor, and I want to give four times, because he is that grateful. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me when no one else could. Thank you for seeing me when I couldn't even see myself. And Jesus responds with a new name for him. He is a son of Abraham, because salvation has come to this man's whole house. It's not just personal, but like in Acts chapter 10 and 11 and 16, when salvation comes, it impacts all of a person's relationships, and it impacts their household and their work relationships and their slaves and everyone. Because salvation isn't personalized, isn't individualized. It comes to whole families. So this text in the sermon this morning is for all of us who tend to measure ourselves and measure our worth by what's not quite right or ideal about ourselves. Or it comes to us when we feel powerful or important, or we feel like we have a title or we are entitled. Jesus doesn't go to any of those places, but he calls them by name. He calls you by name. He calls me by name. I know you. This past week, I was with my son to a doctor's appointment, and the lady who was taking our information across a barrier was sitting behind a computer, and she had a mask on, of course, and she had a face shield, short of a suit of armor, and she had this name badge on, and it said Dot, and I said, Dot. I said, is your name Dorothy? And she said, She said, yeah, it is. She said, I don't really like that name. I just like Dot. And I said, do you know what Dorothy means? And she said, no, I don't. I said, it means gift of God. Really? Maybe I need to think about that. This is what Jesus does. This is what Jesus does in the world. I don't want to see myself. I don't want other people to see me. But Jesus says, I see you. He sees us with the eyes of compassion. He sees us with the eyes of earnest, yearning pursuit that I'm going to go out of my way to find you. So from the standpoint of mission, the early church needed to hear this story because Zacchaeus does not have the qualities for discipleship. He doesn't have the right pedigree for being a disciple. He's a sinner. He's a tax collector. He's a traitor. He's one that does not fit. But it was Jesus' actions that were louder than words that caused Zacchaeus to say, thank you with my life. So that his actions speak louder than words. Because Jesus is a friend of sinners. We can only imagine how many lives that thank you is going to now touch, because poor people are going to have security restored. He's going to do his job differently. He's going to interact with people around him differently. He's not going to have to deal with all of the insecurity that he had around protecting his deficits and pushing hard to advance his strengths and his virtues. All of that energy is now turned into a lifestyle of thank you because he's been seen. The invitation today is to see the Christ who looks at you this way, looks at us this way. And when you live by that kind of thank you, everybody around you is going, so what happened to this guy? He seems different. What happened to her? Because everything about her seems to change, even her energy and her demeanor has changed. Certainly the way she speaks and the way she interacts, that something's different about her. Well, Jesus has changed her way of seeing herself and the world. Because he saw him or her. So here's my concluding illustration today. Every 2 weeks in this room, a group gets together and we study the book of Luke. And we're about a year and a half into this, and we're only at chapter 10 because we dig deeply. And I shared with that group a video or two or three weeks ago of enchroma glasses. And I don't know if you know what those are, but years ago, someone invented glasses that you can put on. They look like sunglasses. That people who are colorblind are then, once they put them on, are able to see in color. And those of you who know YouTube better than I can, just colorblind see again or enchroma glasses, and you can see a whole raft of videos of people who, you know, what's the big deal? And someone gifts them with glasses, and everyone who puts these glasses on, who's colorblind, sees color for the first time in a world of gray and black and white, and they see color, and their response is the same. It is tears and a sense of being utterly overwhelmed. Is this the way you get to see? The whole world is different. I can't believe my eyes. Is this the way you see? And a flooding sense of not only how much have I missed, but how much do I now get to appreciate the world with awe and wonder and color. That, my friends, is a Lucan story, because the glasses of the kingdom that he wants to put on us, as revealed by Jesus, changes the way that we see ourselves and we see one another and we see the whole world with kingdom lenses, because we have seen it. And for everyone who is still in black and seeing in black and white, we so yearn for them to be able to see with the eyes that have seen us. And I can't help but think about the vision and revelation when John says, I can't believe the brilliance of color, the colors I've never seen before. As I look at the glory and the splendor of God, and it changes the way I look at everything. Those are the eyes that have seen Zacchaeus. And those are the eyes that have been given to us to see ourselves and each other and the world, and we are, like Zacchaeus, we're never the same. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, we carry many things. Sense of importance, a sense of success and power, sense of inadequacy, sometimes a sense of a need to prove ourselves or prove our worth. Sometimes we swim against the current of things that have happened to us, of losses that have defined us. And all of these things don't hold the weight of you looking into our eyes and calling us by name. So we pray today that, like Zacchaeus, you would enable us to let go of whatever we've held on to or whatever has a hold on us, that we might see you seeing us, we might see ourselves differently through the lens of your love. Forgive us for our shortness of vision. Forgive us for our holding on to or being held by fear. Forgive us, O God, for those things that have happened to us that now give us a sense of insecurity or inadequacy, things that have been well beyond our control, and we've not seen a way out. So thank you for your love and your mercy, which overcomes all of these things, and we pray that you would allow us to let your mercy and grace do that. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for going out of your way to find us. Thank you for calling us by name and for loving us for who we are. Now we pray that we might live in your love and out of gratitude, and not a need to prove anything, not a need to defend anything, because your grace is in those places too. So help us to walk in the light and the joy and the freedom of the children of God. Give us encouragement as we seek to continue to do so, and live as a kingdom people with kingdom eyes. So help us to see with the fullness of the color that comes with the kingdom, and help us to live in its joy. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen.